Good evening, everybody. I hope that you've had a good day. We're on Sunday nights. We're spending some time, we have been, over the last several Sunday nights, exploring a bit of Jesus' prayer that he says that we should kind of follow as a model. He said this, let me back up. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's a portion of this prayer that we have really tried to center our hearts down on over the last many Sunday nights, and that is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, God's kingdom come is something that only He can bring. It is not something that you and I can orchestrate, not something we can force or manipulate or program. It is God choosing to bring His kingdom. But God brings His kingdom whenever we are surrendered, because the idea of kingdom has to do with the rule and the reign of God. And God only rules and reigns when we surrender to it. And so, what can we do to more position ourselves individually and as a group of people to prepare our hearts and our lives for the renewal fire that God would bring down? And so that's what we've kind of been trying to explore. And so we're going to explore another portion of it tonight. And as we do, we're going to be focusing our attention tonight in John chapter 15. So we'll get there in just a second, but you may want to go ahead and be finding it. John chapter 15, especially the first 17 or so verses. We'll hit some points along the way in that section. As you're finding it, I think I would start with a question. And you might think you know the answer to the question. But I want you to really think about it. Do we really want God's kingdom to come? Are we prepared for what that might mean? For decades in Western Christianity, and especially in American church culture, we have been by and large, focused on consumer come, not kingdom come. We have tried, and I'm trying to repent of this in my life. I've been as much a part of this as I suppose as most. We have tried to provide everything imaginable to try to attract people to come to church. We have designed strategies. We've attended workshops. We've read books. We've tried everything that we can think of as a strategy to grow the attendance of churches. We've essentially tried to, in too many ways, maybe try to give people what we think they might want to get them here. Now, I say that generally as Christendom as a whole in the West. Some areas of Christendom have escaped this trend more than others. By and large, I think we have at times escaped it when others have fallen into it, but we're not immune from it, not in the least. And so whenever we are more thinking in terms of what will get the consumers to come instead of the kingdom to come, we inadvertently, although I think with good intention, we inadvertently create a monster. When people gather as consumers to a church, it's a never-ending beast. And when you don't provide what the people want, the people leave. Because consumers have little, if any, commitment. But if we're serious about kingdom come, are we ready for what that might mean? It means we will have to abandon the consumer come mentality in the church. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't try to find ways, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9, to become all things to all men, that we might by all means win some. It doesn't mean that we don't try to be understanding as missionaries into our culture to understand the perspectives from which people come. It doesn't mean that we don't understand the times in which we live. It doesn't mean that we don't utilize technology and all the things that are available to us to try to reach people. Certainly, we want to use all those means as much as possible. But if we're thinking in terms of not satisfying consumers, but trying to hasten the kingdom come, reign and rule of God in the hearts of people, not just a person sitting on an attendance roll, but a person who is sold out for Jesus, consumed by kingdom purpose. If we're going to make that kind of switch, you can bet that will be a painful process. Because what it means is that some people will leave. But Jesus is not interested in consumers. He wants committed disciples who bear fruit. And for you and I to bear fruit, real fruit for Jesus, it usually means that first we have to be pruned. John 15, verses 1 and 2 to begin. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. This is not a popular message in the church today, but it is the words of Jesus. I don't think any of us enjoy hearing that, at least not at first, because pruning is painful. It means cutting off branches that are not producing. And Jesus even says, branches that are in Him. Did you see that in verse 2? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Why would He do that? He tells us one of the reasons. Unproductive branches on a vine that are still drawing the nourishment from the vine but are not producing fruit are actually sucking the life out of the tree and doing more harm to the tree than good because they're not contributing to the harvest. I just wonder, as I studied this passage this week, it became very enlightening to me that perhaps one of the main reasons the church in America today is struggling is because our consumer come mentality has filled our churches with members who don't ever produce fruit but just simply suck the life out of the body. And that is hard, hard to hear. But Jesus would have us think seriously about it, and maybe instead of pandering to consumers, what if we just let them leave? That sounds harsh because it's like, wait a minute, I thought Jesus is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance, not all to come sit in a church building. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. But in verse 2, he says, the beauty of pruning a tree or pruning a vine is although that pruning is painful at first, in the long run, the vine comes to be more fruitful than it ever was to start with. Because what you're left with are those that are producing, that suddenly are galvanized and mobilized and emboldened and empowered and not being pulled down by dead weight. For the kingdom to come, that means that you, anybody that would claim to be a Christ follower, must get to a place of surrender where we welcome the reign of Jesus over our entire lives. Like a branch on the vine, God expects that I grow to the point that I am producing. I want you to imagine this. Imagine what would happen in a society in our world Imagine some society somewhere, some nation, where all the adults that grow up, meet someone, and get married, all the married people in that nation all collectively decide that they're not going to start their own family. And there's no expectation at all in that society that parents, that adults, married adults, start their own families and become parents. No expectation of parenthood. Eventually, that society dies out. Do you realize that God expects every Christian to become a spiritual parent to another person? No exception. When Jesus, you know, we sang about Jesus calling them one by one. When he first called Peter, Andrew, James, and John on the shores of Galilee's Sea, when he first called them, he said, "Come and follow me." And what does that mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? He defines it. "Come and follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men." A disciple, in the strictest definition, is, by definition, someone who follows Jesus and someone who makes other disciples. That's what a disciple is. So if I'm only doing one of those and not the other, it begs the question if I'm really a disciple at all. Disciples follow Jesus and fish for others, make other disciples. Maybe the church is struggling in some places, in many places in our culture today, is dying in some places in our culture today because we have stopped expecting every Christian to be a disciple maker. We've just said, "Come be a consumer." Now, what does it mean to make disciples? How do we go about doing it? Well, I think for far too long we have thought, I know I have, that making disciples requires that I get more training than I currently have. I need to go to some workshop. I need to read some book. I need a better strategy, a better evangelism tool. I need some way to be able to make this easier because I just can't seem to figure out how to go make disciples. And while those tools might be helpful somewhere along the way, Jesus tells us that's not where you start. If you don't start at the right place, then no wonder the tools are ineffective. No wonder the workshops leave me no more a disciple maker when I graduate than when I started, because I've started at the wrong place. He tells us the key to bearing fruit in verses 3 and 4. "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus, using this language of abide in, the branch abiding in the vine, this is the key, he says, to bearing fruit. The only way to bear fruit is when we are being personally and deeply and daily connected to him, in a deep communion with Jesus, allowing his life to fill us, when we're drawing from his indwelling us. He's saying essentially, "You stay connected to me and I'll bear the fruit in you. Your job is to stay connected. So you see, it starts, he says, you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. It starts by being first personally impacted and cleaned by God's word. If I am not in my heart of hearts an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ, then I will never be able to make something that I am not already. You can't make a disciple if you're not a disciple. You've got to already be clean by the word that has been spoken to you. The word must have so convicted and convinced you and converted you, heart, soul, mind, and strength, that you have created this opening for the Spirit of Christ to fill your life. And then continuing this daily communion of connection with Jesus, drawing that life from Him. It's when you know Jesus deeply and you allow Him to fully know you deeply and indwell your life that He says, then you will bear much fruit. Because if we try to do it with omitting this, and you try every other mechanism or means, there is nothing of any real substance that you will be able to do apart from Jesus. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. With the consumer come mentality, I tell you the trap we fall into. Boy, I have been in it in certain seasons of my ministry. With this consumer come mentality, we fall into this trap of always fixating and being focused on the results. We want to see progress. We want to see definitive evidence that there is something happening. We want to keep on top of the attendance figures and the budget numbers, and we want the fruit. The number of baptisms, we want the fruit. But when you have a kingdom come mentality, rather than focusing on the results, you let the results be. You focus on the connection with Christ. When the first thing we seek is deep connection with Christ, a daily walk with Him, being continually aware of His presence and surrounding ourselves with His abiding nature in our lives and surrendering to His leading, we show ourselves to truly be His disciples. Because we're following Him. We're not charging ahead. We're following Him. But when we stop, when we stop leaning on ourselves and we fully lean into Him, we can ask whatever we wish and He will do it. Look at verse number 8. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we're truly His disciples. But then in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, how can Jesus make such a broad-based statement? Because when we're approaching Jesus and we're approaching the church in terms of we are consumers, then what we're essentially saying is we're saying, Father, I want my will as it is on earth to be done in heaven. I want you to do for me what I want done. Make my life better. Bless my life. Make this church grow. Make this happen and make that happen. Make my will be your will. That's consumer come. But when we approach with a kingdom mentality, and we're wanting His kingdom to come, we're wanting His will to be done on earth, as it always is done in heaven. Bring that rule and reign here in my life, in this church, in my family, my coworkers and my neighbors. Lord, I just want to be connected to you. Let me focus on that connection. Let me draw close to you. Let me abide with you. Let me commune with you. Let me seek your presence. And Father, I'm just going to focus on that. And the more that you just live in me, then you just do your work. You do your work. And then all of a sudden, people start falling on their face and glorifying the Father, not for the works you do, but because they see the Father working in you. They see Jesus working in you. And then all of a sudden, we're not growing churches. We're seeing kingdom come. But what does it mean to be connected to Christ? It means, now don't let this just go in one ear and out the other. We say it all the time, but now it means to love Him. To seek to please Him. To embrace a continual friendship with Him. Look at verse 9 through verse 17. As the Father, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. It's so glaring off the page. When you focus on the results and wanting the fruit, you immediately go to what strategy can we implement to get the fruit. We immediately focus in on trying to bear fruit, thinking we just need to work harder. But Jesus, in this bear fruit language, not once, but at least twice, and alludes to it more often in this passage, says the real way to bear fruit is not by working harder yourself, but by asking Him. Abide in me. And when you're abiding in me and you're seeking not consumer first but kingdom first, and you're abiding, you're living with me and you're seeking that and you're wanting that, just ask. And the Father will give it. He'll give it. And when He says that, it makes me want to repent. Because I'm thinking, why? If we're not bearing fruit, it means either one of two things, probably both. It means I'm not abiding in Him. I'm not connected to Him like that. And secondly, it may mean I'm just not asking. I'm not asking these kinds of things of the Father. So what do we need to do? Abide in me and ask my Father. Abide in me and ask. Remain in me and ask. When we lean deeper into friendship with Jesus, more fully into dependency upon Him, more completely believing that He can do things that are beyond our imagination, beyond our hard work or effort, beyond our strategies, that He can bring His kingdom come into people's lives. But the key to it all, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Let's pray. Father, Your way is always best. Thank You for providing the Spirit of life that flows from Your Son and into us. Help us all, Father, to more fully embrace depending on Jesus and being connected to Him. We confess, Father, that we have gone about Your church times all wrong. We've asked the consumers to come. We repent of our misguided ways. Stir in me, stir in us a new mentality. Help us that instead of working hard for You, help us to work hard to be with You. Instead of focusing on our creating results for You, help us to focus on being connected to You and allowing You to bear fruit through us. We want to be Your kingdom come. Prune us if You must. Do what is most needful to help us bear more fruit. Thank You, Father, for offering us Your friendship through Christ. Lord Jesus, thank You that instead of seeing us as Your servants, You have called us Your friends. Help us to see ourselves as Your friends. And as we welcome this relationship, Lord, fan your spirit into flame in our hearts. And through us, display your power, your might, so that your glory might be seen in this world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you need the kingdom of Jesus Christ in your heart? Have you been holding back from His rule and reign? Tonight is the night to surrender all. If you need to come to Him in repentance and baptism, or maybe you need encouraging prayers from your church family, or maybe it's just when you leave here tonight before you go to sleep, you get alone with the Father and you get real with Him and you ask Him for deeper levels of commitment from your heart and deeper connection, because that is the way forward. If we can help you, come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.